Sunday morning, January 10th.
I asked if I could lead the prayer today. Oh, Lord. Lord, you put certain words in my heart the last few days, and I just want to try to speak for the rest of us in prayer, Lord. Lord, as the world is changing and lots is going on, Lord, we need you more than ever, Lord.
Yes.
We need you. I need you, Lord. I want to be dependent on you, Lord. And I pray for the rest of us to do the same, Lord. Yes. Lord, that you would grant us not, that you would cover our natural eyes, Lord, and let us see only with our spiritual eyes, Lord.
Lord, yes.
That we would not be affected by the things that look at as darkness, but see with the light that you have given us, Lord. And Lord, I believe that there's been a reverse thing going on. I believe that Satan's been treading on us, Lord, and I rebuke that in the name of Jesus with his authority, because your word says that we would trample on serpents, not the other way around. So Lord, begin to give us the power to do that by your word and by your truths, Lord, that you have given us. Lord, begin to invoke power on us, Lord, by your word. And Lord, love is of you. God is love. Love opens doors. Love can take down walls. Love can save people that look absolutely, totally wretched and lost, Lord. And Lord, in that insight, as I was praying, Lord, you showed me something. You know, when we are born again, we are born by love. We are children of love. You bore us with your love. Nothing is greater than your love, Lord.
Yes.
Nothing.
Thank you, Lord.
Nothing, Lord. And so, Lord, in these days to come, let your Spirit fall upon us. Fill us, Lord. Start beginning to invoke your power in us, Lord, through your word. Yes, Lord, and to just shed light, Lord. Lord, and I feel like you never sent Jesus into this world to change governments, Lord. You sent him into this world to provide children for your kingdom, to save man, to save man. Now, there might be a byproduct that governments are changed from that. But that was not the initial purpose of Christ. It was to save mankind and to bring people into your kingdom. And Lord, so let it start today, Lord.
Yes.
Start putting these things in our heart, Lord, that would energize us, Lord, to just want to do your will, Lord, and become your children, and to help usher in these, I believe, last days, your kingdom, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, I believe that, yes, you know, Paul and the apostles, they had a powerful message, and they had miracles and signs and wonders in them. But your word also says by your Son that we would do greater things than these in the days after that. Lord, let that begin. Let it begin, Lord.
Yes.
And I know, Lord, that you have brought us to a place where we can check and balance each other by your word, that we will not let this go to our heads if when you begin to do this, Lord, that we will humble before you, Lord.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, Lord, let this come about in your name and rebuke that enemy in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Lord, yes. Amen. You know, I think about what happened there in the book of Gospel of Luke at the end, where Jesus joins the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And they're all down in the dumps, you know. They had been expecting this glorious thing to occur with the Messiah. And then the Messiah, you know, they go and kill him. So it's like, the thing we were hoping for was just, it was wrong. You know, we were all wrong. And they're really depressed. Well, as Ken was praying, you know, it's as though, you know, let's flip sides. It's like the serpent is treading on us. No, let's flip this thing. Let's tread on the serpent, which is what Jesus was expressing there on that road to them. No, it had to be this way. This is a fulfillment. It's the fulfillment of prophecy, not a reversal of it or whatever. So that prayer was just so good. And yes, the banner over us must be love. You know, and it's got, you know, what else could it be? It's got to be that. So I say amen, amen.
And for today's world, so be it, is amen.
Yes.
It's a translation of
yes.
You know, as Ken was praying, I thought that through my mind, thinking, you know, I myself, I'm speaking for myself, I'm really not worthy of his love with all the things that I've done in my life. But yet that does not stop him from loving me.
Amen.
I have to turn around and love him back. So there was a deep message in your prayer, Ken. I appreciate it.
You know, it's funny. I had a tremendous week, partly because I surrendered as good as I could, and I realized that I was just really weak in an area. And I said, "Lord, I prayed it before. I need your strength to overcome." So every morning I would start out with that, or even when I went to bed. You know, give me strength tomorrow to turn away temptation. And by the time it got to Friday morning, I woke up, went out, sat in the living room, and I just was sitting there, and I started praying in tongues. And I don't know how long I prayed. Way longer than I've ever prayed before. And then he gave me prayer. And it was for many of you and me. And then that happened again Saturday morning, and so I just kept it going, you know. And I just started seeing things so differently, and I was so thankful because I went the whole week in this area, you know, clean. And I don't know what happened with that, you know. It's like you get sometimes, I don't know, if you get to a point where maybe you're ready to really be converted, you know. But if there was so much intercession for the body, you know, and if you don't mind, I'm kind of put somebody on the spot, but I really, had you, Glenn, on my mind. In the spirit, and I believe he's going to touch you, and he's going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's going to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know, a lot of people think, "Oh, what's the big deal about that?" I know it totally has changed me because of those mornings in prayer, because. You know, while you're doing that, sometimes you're throwing out little things like, how about them or that? And so I don't know how that spirit works, but I just feel like it takes those thoughts and puts them before the Lord in the right language, you know, in the right spirit of prayer, you know, without any human thought involved, you know. And I believe it changes things. It changes. It just changed me from that first morning. And so, you know, but you know, it was, what it did is, yes, it was a long time of praying in tongues, but then the prayer of understanding came also. And that's what part of this prayer was. There was probably more to it, but it's all that came out this morning. So, you know, it gave understanding too. You know, it's almost like interpreted part of it. And that it was like, oh, I want to cry out to you, Lord. I want it to be a plea for us that we would just, we need you. We want you, and we want to depend on you, you know. And Lord, increase our faith. Oh, increase our faith, Lord. Mm-hmm. And I believe He will. I mean, I know He will. And I just think that be so encouraged by that prayer, because it was developed for you. Mm-hmm. And He's going to change you. Things are going to start to change in your life. Mm-hmm. I believe that. And I believe he's gonna slowly, or however he wants to do it, start this work coming forth that he wants, you know, that he spent all this time developing a foundation in us and others, you know. Part of it was too that the true body of Christ would begin to be formed, you know. Okay. And we could start recognizing that too. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny, when you were speaking here, Glenn, about how, oh, I need to love the Lord. And it occurred to me then, when you were speaking, that not just you, but all of us need to be given the equipment, so to speak. Be given the equipment to be able to love Him.
Amen.
It's not a natural deal. It's a supernatural deal. And He has to supply what that is. It's got to come from Him. And then Ken was speaking, and I realized, yeah. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, that's that's a good share of the equipment to be able to love Him as we are instructed to love Him. So, and I can see that being such a glorious thing to be finally given this gift after lo these many years, many decades. It can be a unique and wonderful testimony that you would have, Glenn, for His having provided that after all the, you know, not now, it's not empty, but it's a whole lot leaner than it would be if you would be able to, you know, speak in tongues whenever you wanted to. So I just say, praise the Lord for His good ways. They're ways that are past our understanding, but they are good ways. I just say, praise the Lord for that.
I'm going to, yeah. You know, what did you do to be deserving of being born again? Nothing, right? Except repent and realize that you're a sinner. Well, who you are and what you are has nothing to do with if you receive the gift. It's a gift. He didn't put any stipulations on it. He didn't say, well, if you get to here, I'm going to give you the gift. No. And, you know, one of the things that I prayed when I was wanted it, and I just happened to pray for it in my kitchen, but I said, Lord, if you want to give me this gift, then who am I to deny you? And that's really got to settle in on you. You can't, that enemy, we rebuke his voice, shut him up, stand on him. Stand on those serpents that say you're not worthy or you didn't do it. It has nothing to do with that. It's a gift that he wants you to have. And so, however in your heart and your spiritual mind you can get to the place where you can go before him and ask for that, you're going to get it.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Sure.
So will anyone else who's listening or whatever. I have to pick on Glenn, but you know, but he's my brother.
And I can accept it. I need it. I need to hear it. I sit here thinking, 10, 15 years ago, what would I have been? I'd probably got up and walked out.
Yeah.
You know? Thinking, I don't need to hear this. You know? But I do.
You know?
You know, and a lot of people out there do too. So
yeah.
I appreciate what you brought, Ken. I really do.
It felt like it was the time.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You know, because I actually, when I first got here, I thought, well, maybe not, I'm not going to include any of that in the prayer, which I didn't. But then it was kind of like, as you shared, and then I thought, oh, I can't help it. That's what he put on my heart to pray, you know, for you. And so that's what we need to be sensitive to. It doesn't mean, you know.
That's true intercession.
Yeah. And it's between you and him, you know. Can't. But it is a step of faith, of course, too, you know. But I just, you know, one of the things, and do not let this be negative, but I thought, Lord, it isn't right that every person sitting here, I believe, has that gift. And why not you?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Why not you? Well, there's no reason why not you now. Whatever the reasons were in the past, fine, but the past is the past. This is a new day, you know?
You know, not that speaking in tongues is the be-all and end-all. I, too, need more help in being able to love as he would have us love him. I need more of the Holy Spirit to do that. But there's no question, being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a long way toward it. What the thing I hate, is having that thing left on the shelf. Woo! Having that powerful, wonderful gift just sitting there and not being used. Ay, ay, ay.
I was reading the 28th chapter of Isaiah this morning, and I realized there's a lot more to this thing than what I ever saw. And that is the strongest promise we have of what we're talking about. And it says,
Isaiah, this is?
Huh?
It's
Isaiah.
Isaiah 28.
It says, actually the whole chapter, it says in verse 5, in that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory, for a diadem of beauty under the residue of his people, and for the spirit of judgment to him that sits in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. For they have erred through drink, and through strong drink are out of the way, The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Now, this is the situation that confronted Jesus. It also confronted when people were filled with the Holy Spirit. And it says in verse 9, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest, wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. And so Jesus came, and they were full of strong drink, and they were erred in judgment. And the prophets and the church leaders and so forth, which has always been the problem. And so in verse 13 it says, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little. And there a little, that they might go back and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. We're not talking about those that received the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the people that should have. You know, he came to the church. He came to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And it says, wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. And then this is what I was thinking of this morning. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell we are in agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and have made under falsehood have we hid ourselves. When you have a place of refuge, that's some place where you know you're safe. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure stone. He that believes shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the lion, righteousness to the plummet, and the righteous shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. The Jewish leaders were in false doctrine. And every time Jesus would come up with the truth, they had a counter lie. They had something that they countered him with. And but it didn't make any difference. A truth is truth. And so God has given us the Holy Spirit to develop truth, and so that we can be, we won't have the lies as a refuge. We won't have our own thoughts as a refuge. I mean, that's any one of us, anybody else. So with stammering lips and another tongue, will he speak to this people? It doesn't make sense that this is the way that God speaks, but that's what it says. And what happens as a result of it?
Miracles.
Pardon?
Miracles.
Yes, for sure. I'm watching some phenomenal things take place at the moment. And I was talking to Candy and Pablo the other night, and we talked about the building of his house and everything that led up to it, and the unbelievable impossibility of everything that took place. Everything that happened in the building of his house, even the coming of the bird and all the things that we have seen, were, I would say, as miraculous as anything that I have ever seen outside of that. And but you know what? We miss it. We miss the fact that there was no way he could build that house. There's no way that he could pay for that house. There's no way that he could anything with the house. It was a total impossible miracle. And his grandmother, who was extremely wealthy, when he was going to come back and leave the Catholic Church and marry a what would you call her?
Anglo Holy Roller.
Well, whatever. I mean, he was not going to marry a Catholic, and he was going to marry somebody that's already had been married, and he was going to create all kinds of difficulties, and so. And so she didn't even want anything to do with Pablo. And it was kind of her favorite grandson. So what did he do? He listened to the scriptures, and he started writing her letters. And he got nothing back. And I thought, you know what, I'm familiar with that problem. I wrote letters to Rodney, I wrote letters to Clayton, I wrote letters to my mother, and I got one letter back from my mother. And all I wrote, how many letters to her? One letter back. And it says, and all she said is, well, don't forget that you have children. And I knew what you meant. Don't ignore your kids. And, but otherwise nothing. Nothing back from Rodney. I got a letter from Clayton and him and a pastor that he looked up to would read the letters and try to disagree with me, but they couldn't really find a lot of fault. And I don't remember what happened to the other fellow. I knew him, but I don't know what happened, but in spite of everything else, God was working through the things. So when Pablo got ready to pay his house off, his grandmother, who had passed away, left him enough money to pay for the place, and he had no idea, but she wanted to know if all of the letters he wrote could be buried with her in her casket. So while we're not looking at these things as miracles, I started thinking, I thought everything that's happened there is a miracle. You know what I mean? Those are all miracles. Those are miracles as much as Jerome's healing or as much as other things that I have seen. He had no chance of getting even a construction loan, but we worked on a bank over in Menominee, and did the floors and did the stuff in it, and anyway, and he got to know the owner, or the manager, or whatever, And so when it got to the construction zone thing, he couldn't get one. But he called up this fellow, and the guy said, yeah, we'll take care of it. When he got ready to pay off his house, he finds out that his grandma had left him the money to pay it all off. Is that a miracle or not? And I have seen the most unbelievable things, line upon line, precept upon precept, here little and there little. But what it says, what the Jewish leaders had done, they had made lies their refuge. They made lies their refuge. They were hiding behind lies. And was that not what the Jewish leaders had done? So Jesus came, and they argued with him in everything that he taught. The reason being that he knew what truth was, and that's what he taught. And I was born and sent to bear witness to the truth. Yeah.
I love that business of letters that Pablo had written to his grandma being something she wanted in the coffin with her.
Yeah.
I love that.
He didn't even know she was reading him. So the thing is, don't discount your witness. What you tell people, don't discount it. Because if God is giving you something to tell them, they're hearing it.
I happen to look over in chapter 29, verse 13, it starts. Inasmuch as these people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the commandment of men, therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among this people, a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hidden.
Yes.
So, the simple of us is what God uses the most.
Well, he hides these things from the wise and the prudent.
Yeah.
And he hid it from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they said, they saw the people that followed Jesus. And they said, I don't know how they labeled them, but they said that there's something because they don't know the law. They were, anybody remember what it called? They said they were
hypocrites?
No. They were, something else, they were like ignorant children, you know, because they didn't know the law. That's not the right word, but they called them something.
Yeah, I remember how that was. You who are something, how can you? Yeah. You know, you just made me remember something. Probably during the holidays, at one point, I ended up being able to share with, I won't say which, but one of my children and their spouse, how Pam and I met and how we ended up being saved. I don't know that they'd ever heard it. And I didn't think much of it at the time, you know, but now as I was sitting here, I'm going, yeah. But I felt a little change coming, just slight. And so I'm just keeping my spiritual eyes open and ears, and, you know.
They do hear it.
Yeah.
They heard it now, you know. And sometimes we don't realize how vital that is, but that's all valuable. It's all vital. Yeah, the letters I wrote my mother, I got no response. I never got a response except to make sure that I didn't neglect my kids. Mm. And as if that would have ever been my problem. And, but you know what? When we got back here and if we started, you know, having some get-togethers and so forth, my mother was right there. And she got saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized. And not that this was her road to glory, but it was good, you know. Even my dad, who has had some real problems, we had a lot of chances to talk. And maybe some of the time that he could hear it, maybe it was what he needed, you know.
Yeah. Nobody writes letters anymore. Send a text message, you know. Mm-hmm. But like you say, the letters were buried with his grandmother, which is nice. But a text message, that gets deleted. You don't have that anymore. They're gone. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
well,
it's a shame, you know.
Yeah, but hopefully it's written on your heart to agree.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
If it's something like that, that's, you know.
Yeah, but it's the same. That air is gone. Technology has taken over.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. I wrestle with how long do I keep birthday cards and Christmas cards? Because in them, my children have said some just wonderful things, you know. And you think, yes, and sometimes you might go back, you see it later, and you pick it up and you read it again, and you're blessed, you know. But, yeah, it's not the. But I'm thinking, but you get new ones every year, so I'm going to throw some of them out. Because it's getting to be too big a pile.
You know, paper does not take up a whole lot of space. I'm not saying that there aren't things that need to be gotten rid of, but paper does not take a lot of space.
No.
You know, if they wrote something as an 8-year-old that blesses you when they're 50 years later.
Actually, I got one stuck in my Bible.
One thing, cleaning out parents' homes and stuff after they passed, his mother saved every single card. And there were drawers full, but going through them was such a blessing.
Yeah.
All the people that loved her and expressed it. Every year, every birthday, every Christmas, every whatever, you know. So maybe if you keep that and they go through it, they'll be blessed by it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I say, you can't do nothing with a text message once it's gone.
No, that's true.
You know?
It might be something I'm going to share with them.
Just a thought. I know I've cleaned out cards and stuff too, but I've kept some.
You know, they keep photographs. You know, mm-hmm. for the most part. But, yeah, like you say, the caption said, if you send a photograph in a text message, you put a message, you say, well, you know, if it's I always save the photo, you can't save the message, really, you know, in a place. Then if you can't leave them, go on forever, you know, fill up your whatever.
I feel to tell you something that happened a long time ago. I was writing to, you know, I wrote a lot of letters. I was writing to Rodney. You know, I always had a special place for Rodney. And he was working down in the, I don't know, he was welding aluminum someplace. And Betty was also doing the same thing. They weren't there before they got married. And I kept writing him letters and nothing. Writing him a letter, nothing. Writing him a letter, nothing. And one day, I see she had left a Baptist church and just was said, determined no more church. And her and Rodney were sitting at the tavern drinking, I think. And they were talking about stuff. He was telling her about his crazy brother that kept writing him these letters. And he says, he's a religious fanatic. And she says, she was kind of quick at this. She says, well, could I read one of those letters? And so he said, sure. So he brought her all of them. And she started to read them, and it just something happened to her. And this might have been the reason they got married. I don't remember. And they made a trip out to Seattle. I think she got to a little Holy Spirit out there. Betty did. And it's like we don't realize whatever effort you put forth, God is going to do something with it. Do something for God, and God's going to do something with it. You know, don't be afraid to witness. Don't be afraid to, if you can't talk to them face to face, write them a letter. Rodney thought I was nuts, but Betty didn't. Mm-hmm. You know.
Along that same line, you know, we told you about the trouble of those kids and our neighbor kids over there. But last week, what did I call her?
To come with the pillows.
Oh, yeah. Barb made some little pillow things for their kids. And so I told her, come on over and get them. And I said, I'll bring more. She said, no, I'll come over. So she came over, and we gave her the pillows. Barb had to finish putting the ribbons on for girls, bows on for the boys once, you know. So we were talking, and we got into, she said something, she sprouted subject, well, my kids have been asking about Jesus, you know. Well, you know, and she's Catholic, and I said, we did invite her to come to church with us sometime, but that's down the road, and, you know, we got to let all this stuff kind of work on her a little bit, so. I told her that we were non-denominational, and I gave her copies of that stuff I wrote, you know, that I've been writing when it comes to me.
The grocery
date thing. Well, that was one of them, and there was all the rest of them, or ones that I kept there in there too yet. But she sat there reading the grocery bag, and I sat there watching her, and I was thinking, I should have called it wants and needs, but grocery bag was what I was told to put on it. But anyway, and I could see that as she was reading it, she kind of changed. Just see something was changing in her, you know? So I told her to take it all home, and Barb got a little kid's Bible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To give to the Bible kids, for, you know, Bible stories for the kids to read if they wanted, because they like to have stuff read to them.
And they like,
you know,
to read. Yeah. It was wonderful.
She took it all home, and I'm just kind of waiting back to see what's going to develop. Maybe nothing, and maybe a lot. I don't know. But we had the opportunity came up. We weren't looking for it, you know, but it just happened to come up, and I guess we went with it, you know.
Well, we shared a few things that we believe, like dedicating our children and stuff like that, because I think she's kind of concerned about the kids.
Well,
and in turn, she's concerned for herself, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Lori, door open.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll just kind of wait and see where it goes, you know. If it, you know, who knows?
Maybe somebody
or
else will pick it up.
Yeah.
But God's doing the work. He's beginning to, or continuing to start working hard, I think, for people, salvation.
Yeah.
In these times, a lot of people are going to turn.
Mm-hmm. And then we got talking this morning about the two witnesses in Revelation, you know. So we looked it up in Revelation, I think it's 11:7 or something like that, you know, about the two witnesses that come there. on it for, anyway, I calculated out the years. It's like 6.5 years that they're going to be on the earth, because it gives it 1,266 days. Well, I calculated it.